Hey, welcome. My name is Mike, if we haven't met yet, and it's really great to have you here with us. Before we get into today's message, I just want to take a moment to say thank you. Thank you to our community. Our church has really had my family's back over the past couple months. If you didn't know, back in July, my mom was visiting myself, Carissa, and our kids up here from Newfoundland. And we got a phone call. My brother had passed away. He took his life at the age of 37. Over the past 7-8 years, he battled mental illness. And he fought hard, he fought courageously, but he just couldn't fight anymore. He was quite open about his mental health journey. He was an advocate for those experiencing the same thing, and we were crushed. My brother, as self-aware as he was about his mental health, he'd often say that asking for help doesn't make you weak. It reveals strength when you no longer feel strong. I've appreciated over the past couple months hearing some of your stories, some of your journeys. You too have lost loved ones to suicide. You've lost loved ones too early, unexpectedly, tragically, or maybe even at the end of a long health journey. And some of you may be even walking through mental illness, or your family members may be walking through that. Life is really messy. It's not just a fancy thing to say, it really is. But we do it together. And I've really felt us doing that together in my life. Some of the conversations that I would have had with you during your life situations and encouragements to share are now conversations and encouragements that me and my family are receiving from you in our life situation. So after we got that call and composed ourselves, my mom and I flew back to Newfoundland. Carissa and the kids stayed here in Langley. And my family began to walk through some of the most strange, weird, traumatic moments probably of my life. You might have experienced those similar moments yourself. It's like you feel like a deflated tire, but you still have to go at highway speeds. It feels odd, it's exhausting, and you probably even make some weird sounds at times too. My brother's death, I find it hard to comprehend it, even now. I'm trying to process it and thankful for conversations with friends and with family and especially counseling as well. Over the years, counseling has challenged me to not be afraid or be controlled by my emotions or my feelings, or to avoid them. When I avoid them or hold them back or hide them or mute them or medicate them, it creates a perfect environment for anxiety to just dwell up in my life. So I'm trying to do that amidst of grief. And grief is just an entire sack of potatoes. We often think of grief as this linear, go forward, go backward, go forward, go backward. But grief is almost like taking a handful of spaghetti and throwing it at the wall and let it stick. It's just so messy and mashed and just goes everywhere. Sometimes grief makes you want to take a handful of spaghetti and throw out a wall, by the way. Anyways, that aside, thank you for being friends. Thank you for having our families back in prayer. And if you have any questions about our journey, about mental health, how we're experiencing it in our family, about suicide, feel free to ask. Our family has been trying to be as transparent as we can along in this journey. We do really rejoice together as a community. We rejoice with those who rejoice, but we also do mourn with those who mourn. So thank you for mourning with me and my family in this time. There's much more to be said, but for now we'll leave it at that. Just wanted to say thank you. But let's transition. Let's go into our message today. We've been spending time in a series called For Example. We get to look at different roles and relationships and look at God's example as we walk those out day to day. Many times we consider how we relate with one another. We think about, what do I do? What do I say? We think about these behavioral elements. We often think about that as the surface stuff. But when we consider God's example, we get to go a little bit higher. We get to go to the 30,000 feet. It speaks to our character, and that informs and flows out into behavior. So it's not so much about what do I do and what do I say, while that is very important, but actually what is in my heart in terms of character. Behavior, in some sense, is the sharing and serving of something, but character is what you're serving and what you're sharing. It's the heart you're serving and sharing out of. We can isolate behavior and kind of lift it up on a pedestal. It can be hollow underneath, but character, you can't do that. Character is who you are when no one's looking. Behavior is a reflection of that character. I have a friend who I've known for about 13 years, and he's probably one of the nicest people that I've ever met. And over the past 13 years, sometimes I've wondered, when is that niceness going to break? When does this fall apart? I haven't yet seen that. So where are we going with today? Well, this series is based in Ephesians 5 and 1. It says, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love. Just as Christ loved us and gave himself up as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So today, let's look at this relating as a friend. What does it mean to follow God's example as a friend? Well, I needed some help from the interwebs to kind of get the juices flowing. There's many thoughts about friendship, some good, some bad, but some that would look very beautiful on a coaster in your living room. So here's a few examples of that. Bear with me on this. Friendship is being there when someone's feeling low and not being afraid to kick them. Another one, there's nothing better than a friend unless it's a friend with chocolate. We've been friends for so long, I can't remember which one of us is the bad influence. This one here, friends buy you food, best friends eat your food. The key is to have a lot of friends, no best friends. More food. And this one may be my personal favorite, and you can all relate. Friendship is like peeing in your pants. Everyone can see it, but only you can feel the warmth inside. You see, the word friend may come as a comfort to you. You can't remember all the names of all the friends you have. Most everyone you talk to is a friend of mine. You have a best friend you share life with. Life doesn't have these catch-up moments, but is an ongoing side-by-side adventure. You feel the mutual respect, the mutual love, and the mutual effort that friends pour into relationship. And for others of you, you may feel like you want to curl up in a ball and cry as I read those. The word friend and friendship may trigger some emotions for you that aren't comforting. You might not have had that type of friendship before. You've lost a friend in some way, shape, or form. There's a friendship that's no longer. Maybe a life transition caused it to phase out. Maybe the number of friends you have is smaller than other people's numbers, and how they talk about friends isn't your experience of friendship. Ross, Rachel, Phoebe, Monica, Chandler, that's not your experience of friendship. You might feel like you're missing out or something is wrong. I've been wondering, however, what is a friend? What makes someone a friend? They go from acquaintance to coworker, maybe a neighbor. Boom, this line here is their friend. What makes that? Where's the cutoff? Is it the amount of time you spend with someone? The number of encounters? Is it a broad definition? Or is it a narrow definition, an inner circle? if you're an introvert or an extrovert? Does that definition vary? Who is and isn't a friend? So today, let's look at the role of a friend as it relates to ourselves in relation to other, how God's character forms our character and flows out to the other. But let's also look at the other in two types of friends, a lowercase f. Maybe that is a specific friend, a small group of friends, but also broad, a capital F friend. Maybe that is everybody, how scripture would relate to a neighbor, one another, or even brothers and sisters amongst others. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children. Our friendships with others don't flow out of behavior, but out of our character. You can be friendly, but are you a friend? You may have a friendly behavior, but is there a character of a good friend? You see, our friends aren't impacted as much by our good behavior, but out of a deep godly character. We get to express that deep godly character when we experience that godly character straight from God. So a question, how can we tangibly understand the character of God? What is that like? How do you put language to it? Well, Galatians 5 does that. You, my brothers and sisters, Paul writes, are called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly and humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. Love your friend as yourself. He continues on. This is where we get into character. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. We hear of love, a perfect love that only God can get. It's deep and it's constant. There's joy, which is a kind of a delight, a realization of God's favor and grace. It's not dependent on our circumstances. There's peace, life without conflict, safe and secure. Forbearance, which could also be called patience. It's withstanding challenging situations and probably challenging people with perseverance and endurance. Kindness, having moral integrity, which the Holy Spirit enables us. Goodness is this uprightness in heart and in life. Not only being good, but also doing good things. Faithfulness is where dependability and trust are best friends. Gentleness, and Rebecca mentioned this last week, strength under control. And of course, self-control, which is not indulging in the flesh. These are the characteristics of God that we experience in friendship with Him. And as we're full of the Holy Spirit and continue to be filled with the Holy Spirit, these are forming and growing in our character. And in situations, these inadvertently but very intentionally become a result. Maybe a friend is coming to your mind. Maybe you said it, why are you so patient? How are you so patient? I say that to my wife often. But behaviorally, these are poured out from our lives. They begin to look easy because they're so ingrained in us as the Holy Spirit is ingrained in us. So we are actually experiencing a friendship with God that leads our friendship with others. And if these are to express themselves in our lives, then we must first receive the love, the joy, the peace, the goodness that God offers us. Because when they flow out, they become our lingo, our language, our go-to response, our go-to reaction. This isn't a show, it isn't an opportunity, it's not a fake it till you make it, it's not hollow, it's actually our spirit's nature. So at the end of the day, we can ask ourselves, was I a friend as God would have been a friend in this situation? What goes deeper here, though? Why is God so patient? Why is God kind? Why is God gentle? Why is he faithful? Why is he indeed love? Why is God a good friend? Well, let's go a little bit deeper here. It's very simple, but just a couple things. God is for us. God is for you. He's love. Romans 8, the Message version, would say this: with God on our side like this, how can we lose? If God didn't hesitate to put everything on the line for us, embracing our condition and exposing himself to the worst by sending his own son, is there anything else he wouldn't gladly and freely do for us? Do you think anyone is going to be able to drive a wedge between us and Christ's love for us? There's no way, not trouble, not hard times, not hatred, not hunger, not homelessness, not bullying threats, not even backstabbing, not even the worst sins in Scripture. God is for you because he loves you. God is 100% for you, 100% of the time. He has a sacrificial love for you that Ephesians 3 says passes all knowledge. There's a peace that Philippians 4 says passes all understanding. God has an unhurried presence that withstands challenging situations and challenging people with perseverance and endurance. God doesn't get annoyed with your daily need. God wants nothing but the best for you. There's no deception. There's no manipulation. He's not gossiping about us, poking fun at us, backstabbing, out for his own hidden agenda. He's not using us inappropriately. He's not wanting our friendship to be one way. Our friendship with God is gifted and unearned. So if this is who God is, and that God is for us and God is love, how are you following God's example as a friend? What example does this show you? See, God isn't just for us, but off in the distance, observing. God is also with us. He's present in the moment. Isaiah 41 says this: "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." For the past number of weeks, as we've read our Bible stories with our kids before bed, in one part it just says, "Do not be afraid, God will protect you." And that's been a little bit of a mantra for us, a truth for us, in the times when we feel afraid, when our kids feel afraid. God is with you because he is present. He doesn't distance himself from you. It's because he wants what he wants for us, not from us. So as you sit with God, there's this kindness, there's a gentleness and a faithfulness where dependability and trust are best friends that we get to receive, but we also get to give. There's a saying, you become the people you surround yourself with. Isn't that true? Let's surround ourselves with the Holy Spirit and allow his character to deepen us. How are you following God's example as a friend? Being completely for someone out of deep love. Being completely with someone, being present. One of my favorite authors, Bob Goff, wrote this: "I used to want to fix people, but now I just want to be with them." See, that flows out of a deep, godly character of love, of kindness, of gentleness. And as friends, we get to freely be present with people. We get to lay down our assumptions, our judgments. We get to truly listen to understand one another. We get to invite one another into deep life and to experience true and full and meaningful life, just as Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So a couple thoughts as we conclude. In your friendship, where might you be putting more effort into your behavior and simple good behavior, rather than deepening your character and friendship with God? Maybe lately you've been feeling more irritated or judgmental or impatient or withholding grace from one another. And is there someone in your life that you would say, I need to be completely for them, or I need to be completely with them? I need to pay attention to the lowercase f friend, but also the capital F friends. I want to close today by reading John 15, verses 12 to 17. Jesus' words that I think send us out to be good friends. It says this: This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. If you are my friends, you are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves because the master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends since I have told you everything the Father told me. You didn't choose me, I chose you. I appointed you to go produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask using my name. This is my command, love one another. Let's go and be good friends today.